Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, Dr. Stephen Greer, and not only the founder of the Disclosure Project, but he has brought forth some of the most compelling evidence that I have ever seen. And Stephen, 2 weeks ago, I sat in the front row with Adam Curry and in front of the Jumbotron and was watching some of your video evidence. Now, I'm going to have to say right now, I have never seen anything like what we were witnessing that day, and the oohs and the ahs coming from the audience was evidence of that. But if you've ever wanted to see what was going on when it comes to anti-gravity or UFO technology, certainly you did present it there. Is that what happens when you go out and do these get-togethers with night vision and so forth?
Yes, and we've been doing this for 25 years, and some of the events that have happened as a result of what we call close encounters of the fifth kind are astonishing. And I think one of the exciting things about that is that anyone can do it. It doesn't require my presence. And they're out there. These civilizations are out there. And I felt for many years, they really are waiting for humans to do something intelligent. We'll say, is there intelligent life out there? I would say, is there intelligent life down here? We need to start thinking how to make contact in a way that's peaceful, and also with an expanded concept of physics. And I can assure you that interstellar civilizations are not using telephones and radios at the speed of light. They're using technologies that go through other dimensions and interface with the speed of thought. So when they want something to be actuated, it is through thought connection, through electronic systems. And one of the interesting developments at Princeton is Dr. Bob John and, of course, Adam Curry, who's his protege, working in that area in very early human attempts at this type of mind-matter electronic interface. And, however, we don't have to develop that ourselves to do contact, because we have the ability to do remote viewing and enter into a state of awareness where we can connect to interstellar civilizations and their communication systems if we understand the physics behind consciousness, thought, and transdimensional electronic systems. And that's really what the main reason I got involved with this was to achieve that. And when people see the evidence for what we've had happened, they're fairly astonished. But the Disclosure effort was an accident, actually. I mean, it was something I never intended to get involved with, but I was asked to begin to, well, to do it. Nobody in Washington would do it. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I totally understand that. There was one of the videos I wanted to ask you about. Adam and I were sitting there giggling like little kids because it was just amazing to watch. But one of them was you on a beach, and the craft lit up on the left side, moved over, it like flashed its lights, moved over to the right, looked like it joined up with another craft, zigzagged back across, then shoots up and disappears. Now, we've all looked, if I would have seen something like that in the skies, I might have packed my family and headed to the hills, because it was a totally frightening thing to see. How do you explain that particular event? And what do you think? Was it us or was it them?
No, it was interstellar. It was extraterrestrial. And, we've had this happen thousands of times. When we were in Arizona, right after I saw you, we went up to the high desert at a mountain outside Tucson. And we had a chevron-shaped golden object come over. And it went, it materialized and was stationary. And then it went from one end of the sky over across the horizon at several thousand miles an hour. Everyone there looked up, they saw it, and went, oh my God. It changed everyone's life. And I said, well, yes, of course, this happens whenever we go out, and almost every time we go out and do this.
Dr. Greer, let me jump in. Are you moving your phone around? Can you speak? It sounds like it's moving.
Oh, no. No, I'm stationary.
Okay. Okay, continue.
So those sort of events are not that unusual. And in fact, it was so exciting for people to see this because they realized that these civilizations actually are interested in contacting human civilization if we do it peacefully and without fear and the paranoia that usually attaches itself to this subject. And I always tell people, you know, look, I've been out under the stars doing this with groups since 1990. And the only frightening thing I've ever had happen was, you know, at the hands of other humans, where, for example, in Mexico, we had some corrupt police with rifles attack us and try to rob us and this sort of thing. But I don't think that, you know, people have all these fantasies about why they should be afraid of this. I said there's really nothing to be afraid of. But you know, this is why I train people in how to do it and what the sort of concepts are. But you got to go beyond just say, I'm going to go out and watch the sky. This is an interactive process where we're actually making contact and inviting contact to happen. And more often than not, it does happen. It's really exciting.
And there was another event that I wanted to ask you about. I didn't get a chance to ask you about it directly, which was the orb that flew over your shoulder into the group, around the chair, came back out and went into the face of somebody that was facing you. What happened there? And did you actually see that orb do this maneuver? Because that was pretty fantastical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have. And they've come right into our group. And, for example, in Joshua, up in the high desert, Joshua Tree, we had a spherical object appear by my right shoulder and then vanish. And then we heard a group of ETs literally talking in the desert just outside our circle up at Geology Tour Road up in Joshua Tree. And yet, with the naked eye and with very advanced fourth-generation military-grade night scopes, you couldn't see anything. But we took a photograph, and there hovering in the air is a 4 or 5 foot male that was clearly in the photograph being held in a trans-dimensional cone of light. Now, this sounds like science fiction, except everyone heard the group of ETs talking, and the photograph is 100% legitimate. And even though people try to debunk it, they always do. And I tell people, you have to begin to cross over into understanding what are the physics of interstellar civilizations. Well, they go from one dimension to another, even if they're from a star system and a planet that's physical, they're not staying in a physical, as we conceive of it, materialized form through very high voltage resonant frequencies. They, quote unquote, dematerialize or shift into another dimension and then travel non-linearly. So they're not going at speed of light from point A to B across the cosmos. They're going from A to B almost instantaneously, not quite, but through these sort of electronic systems that are teleportation systems. And we've actually captured that sort of event on camera, like the one you're referring to, where this object comes in, wraps around this person, and then is actually, there's a contact event happening where the woman across from me is in meditation. She's a medical doctor from Peru and was having this amazing contact experience, and we captured that entire process on film.
How was she affected by that, and did she know that that just, you know, literally just hit her in the face? I'm not kidding. It was an amazing thing to see.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the photographs we have. Yeah, that's nothing. I mean, you know, what she experienced, because I had been leading people in a remote viewing and meditation exercise, she experienced like a samadhi state, a very high energy state, and expansion of consciousness to the cosmic level. That's what she experienced at that moment. So it was a beautiful experience for her, and we were very fortunate that we were able to capture it on film.
Now, what do we do when we have two different factions and a few that are in the middle, but we have the benevolent, they're here to take over the world, they're here to help us, or is it somewhere in the middle? What, you know, what's really going on?
Here's what I think is really going on. The world is as you are. In other words, people project onto something that's unknown, that says more about them than the phenomenon they're projecting onto. so I think that people who have within their construct the need to hate someone or be afraid of something, they're going to project that. Other people will see something else. I think the reality is that there are many civilizations out there. If they were overtly hostile, it would all be over. I mean, I've said this at military gatherings when I was asked at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where the Roswell remains were sent. The colonel in charge there said, look, what if they're a threat? I said, sir, with all due respect, if they were a threat, given the fact that we have been targeting them with electronic weapon systems since the 40s, Tesla-type scalar electronic systems, they would have cleaned our clock about 1945. I said, the fact that you and I are breathing the free air of Earth shows enormous patience and restraint on their part. On the other hand, let's look at the Earth through the eyes of these civilizations. In the last century, we've killed hundreds of millions of people in warfare and in murder. We have degraded the environment and are now committing what I call planeticide, the deliberate killing of an entire biosphere, when we have alternative technologies that could prevent that from happening. So these civilizations can be excused if and particularly if some of them view us in less than a flattering light. It isn't that they may view all humans that way, but the dominant civilization on our planet is, let's face it, cancerous. We are living in a way that doesn't respect Mother Earth, that doesn't respect each other, that has engaged in endless warfare and tribalism, but now we have weapons of mass destruction. On top of that, we have these special interests and cabals that are ruthlessly suppressing this sort of information and technology, while the other 7 billion people on the planet are burning up the atmosphere and polluting the water and destroying the Earth. So if you were from another star system and you saw what was happening here, you could be excused for not being hostile, but viewing our current civilization in less than a favorable light. In fact, I think any thinking human who would take a step back and look at how we're living on this planet and conclude the same thing. So I don't think that's a misanthropic view. I think that's a realistic view. Now, that doesn't mean that they're hostile or they're bad and evil or this or that. It simply means that they may not want us going out into space, for example. Like when we landed on the moon, Neil Armstrong was overheard later saying, we were warned off the moon. We were not welcome out in space.
Right.
Because we were not viewed as peaceful and civilized. And I think that if you talk, you know, like Michi Kaku has said, we're not a level one civilization yet, never mind a two or three or four or five. And when you're a level one civilization, it's simply one that's living peacefully and isn't destroying its environment anymore. So we are still a level zero civilization. And so this has to change. It's a huge transformation that has to happen in order for the human race to be really welcome.
How difficult has it been for you, this mission? I mean, virtually, you're taking the establishment in Washington on your shoulders and carrying it. You know, how big is it? And are you ever going to get exhausted with the fight?
Well, yeah, of course you do. And it can be really depressing, frankly. And, you know, I've had close friends killed. I've had horrible things happen to myself. But I think that, you know, ultimately, I look at the far horizon. And luckily or unluckily, when I was 17, I had a near-death experience. So I'm not afraid of death, and I don't live through fear, because I just know there is nothing like that. There's no death. So if you're not afraid of death, you can do a lot of great things. And I feel that, however, the coming of age for me, and I was talking about this recently in an interview with a Russian network TV station, and I said, I don't know if you can imagine being a man, a young doctor in his 30s, briefing a sitting CIA director for 3 hours. And he's sitting there going, I don't know what to do. They're denied. They're blocking access. So, you know, back in about 23 years ago, my whole life got turned upside down, because I realized that something was incredibly wrong here, and that the people that we were going to, who you would think could make this change, can't. The emperor has no clothes in that sense. And I think that that has been a terrible realization that you just kind of push through and then say, well, I have to accept the world as it is, not as I would like for it to be, and then try to do something to help it move forward. And I think the hardest thing personally has been, you know, the personal attack and ridicule. And, you know, I've left my medical career, which I loved, saving lives as a trauma doctor. And, you know, that's been a very hard thing to do. And, of course, financially it's been devastating. I've foregone about $10 or $12 million in income, frankly, over the years doing this instead of my normal career. And luckily, I have the greatest wife in the world who is not at all materialistic and is very supportive. But there are many doctors' wives who would have put up with it. But I think that, and we're going to have our 37th anniversary in August. But I think we're you know, for me, those are personal sacrifices. But I don't really worry that much about that in the whole scheme of things. Because, look, you know, I have 8 grandchildren now, believe it or not.
Did you say 37 years? You don't look but 38 years old. I mean, tell me how that math works.
I like to work out a lot. I mean, I'm going to be 61 in about a month. But I think that, you know, we really have to think, what are we leaving to our children and our grandchildren?
Right.
And to me, that's the thing that really matters. And we have a responsibility, I think, not just to our children and grandchildren, but looking down into history, going to the future, thousands of years. I don't think we're in a century or even millennial change. I think we're in a once in every 100,000 or few 100,000 year change that we're in the throes of.
Well, one of the things that I want to talk about when we come back after this break is whistleblowers. Now, you managed to get enough testimony, both on audio and videotape, and a very large collection together, but that's never enough. And I'd like to know, how do you find those whistleblowers? How do you vet them? And if somebody approaches you, what do you do after that? I think all of that is very important. So let's discuss that right after the break. This is Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, our guest, Dr. Stephen Greer. He is the founder of the Disclosure Project, CSETI, Serious Technology Advanced Research. And of course, he did the National Press Club Disclosure event in May 2001. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. So, Dr. Greer, you've got a busy schedule right now. You've got a new film that you're working on that I've seen a sneak preview of. And the tie-in with whistleblowers and how you pull that off. Can you share that with me? I really want to know.
Yeah, and this is, we're making a call, an appeal to people to come forward who have been in these projects, military, corporate contractors, intelligence, both in the U.S. and in other countries, for inclusion in this new documentary. And the way that we have found the folks so far is simply by making an appeal to the public and people coming forward out of a sense of, to be honest with you, knowing that the truth it needs to be brought out now, and that we cannot continue to keep this secret, and the secrecy is killing us. So I think really it's networking, and everyone listening, if you went into your community and started talking about this, you're going to find somebody who's worked in the government contracting sector or in the military who has had some exposure or knowledge about either a project or an event that's a UFO or extraterrestrial or high-tech program dealing with anti-gravity or free energy. It is out there, but we need the public to be our research associates. So I'm making an appeal for people to do it, or anyone who is listening, to contact us. Now, once that happens, we will then vet and investigate the person, if they were where they said they were, when this happened, et cetera, and so on. All of the Disclosure Project witnesses were asked to sign a statement that they would testify under oath before Congress or in a court of law to what they were sharing with the penalty of perjury. So we're very serious about this. And we're relying on shows like yours and the public to go and scout and find these people and encourage them to come forward. And we want to point out that if you go to our website, seriousdisclosure.com, we have this unless otherwise directed letter and process up there with the documentation, which essentially has released people from their national security oaths on this subject. And people who are listening, who are in intelligence programs or the aerospace industry, need to understand that there will be no punishment for coming forward and being a whistleblower on this, because we've been able to prove that the projects are being managed illegally. So that's the appeal. Now, the same appeal is being made to people who have these technologies. And there are many people who I'm sure are out there right now who have an operating system, and they don't know what to do. We need all of you to go and spread the word in your community, see who is out there and get hold of us, and then we will send a team to evaluate that and try to bring the technology out. So this is a very much a grassroots effort, and like the film Sirius, which, by the way, is now on our YouTube channel. If you go to youtube.com, S Disclosure, S as in Sirius, S Disclosure, you will see that you can view that film for free in its entirety on our YouTube channel.
So if anybody wants to, let me jump in really quick, because we have a load of phone calls here. I want to try to get to a couple of them really quick. But sure. So if anybody wants to help any way, contribute for the film or bring a witness forward or help in any way, they would just go to seriousdisclosure.com and all the information is there.
Correct. And in fact, in the past 5 weeks, we have already raised around $440,000 for this project, which is not just the film. It's going to have a companion book, and it's going to be a prolonged campaign to continue the process of bringing out more and more and more of these top secret witnesses, and also the technology to the extent that we can identify them and test them.
Let's grab a couple of phone calls. Let's go to the wild card line. Carol in San Antonio, Texas. Welcome to Coast. You're up first.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm a 8-year Air Force veteran back in the Vietnam era. I was in the Medical Corps. And when I was doing my training in a base at North Texas, I got to be friendly with somebody that was doing a lab supervisor training course. And after we finished our training, they went to their base and I went to mine. And they went to Wright-Patterson, which is where the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology is. So right. About 6 to 8 months later, I went up to visit just to say hi. And this person showed me around the lab, which is what they were in charge of. And they asked me to come into this storeroom where they had found a box. And this box contained all kinds of photographs and also some narratives from an autopsy. And I really wasn't believing what I was seeing when I looked at these pictures.
What did you see, Carol?
I saw two ETs on an autopsy table cut open. And I've never told anybody about it but my husband and my family. And I didn't have a top secret security clearance. I was just visiting.
Right.
But I looked at these photographs and I read some of the narratives from the autopsy, and I was just stunned. The next day, when my friend went back to the office to collect that box,
would you be willing to go on the record?
Underneath his desk, the box was gone.
Carol, let me jump in. Dr. Greer wants to know if you'd be willing to go on the record.
I'd be willing to go on the record. I'm maybe a couple years older than Dr. Greer.
What does that have to do with anything? I'm a couple of years
younger. Well, the thing is, I'm probably getting close to Medicare age. But knowing what I know and what I've seen, who's to say what the government would do to me?
They're not going to do anything to you. We have other people like yourselves. But here's something you need to hear, and everyone on the show needs to listen. since 2001, when we have put out more than 5 dozen witnesses like yourselves, testimony and documents, not a single person has been threatened or approached. And I have communicated with every single one of them, and if they are, they are to contact me immediately, and it'll be the biggest mistake whoever makes the threat will see happening.
Well, I have no problem going on the record. I'm a medical professional, and
please contact me at our website, and we will follow up with you, because what you saw is a very important piece of the puzzle, even though it was an incidental event. And I think this, you're exactly the kind of person we're wanting to have a step forward.
Thank you, Carol. And if you just go and click on Dr. Greer's name on the Coast to Coast AM website, it'll take you straight to his website, SearsDisclosure.com. And there you go. Thank you so much, Carol. Amazing phone call.
Yeah, thank you for stepping forward. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Let's go to the first-time caller line. Let's go to Linda in San Vicente. Linda, welcome to the Coast.
Yes, hi. I have a question for Stephen. Stephen, with the alien thing, you said that you verbally, that you heard them speaking. I was under the impression that they're telepathic. Did you hear what they, did you visualize, or did you hear that in your mind's eye?
Thank you for the phone call, Linda.
Yeah, very good question. It was happening on both. So we do the remote viewing, and then there's consciousness interface. But when I said we heard 4 or 5 ETs speaking out in the field just outside our circle, that was, everyone heard that, and I mean everyone, with their ears physically. So they were both, there was both the consciousness component and the physical component, which many people who've had contact report that. So, and this, specifically what we heard, I don't know what language it was. It wasn't any language on this planet, but it was a small group, 4 or 5, and most people heard female voices. A few people heard the male voice, and then we had the image of this male ET that we were able to photograph quite amazingly. So it was on both levels.
Let's go to east of the Rockies, out to Wisconsin. Dave, you're up next.
Hi. I have a little information first, and then I will tell something that was so incredible, it's almost unbelievable. But a little background. I'm a veteran. I'm 1 of 5, my brothers, kind of a family tradition. My MOS, I worked in missiles and intelligence. I won't talk about that, except I know what a plane is. I know what a missile is, a drone, all that. I was the top of my class, distinguished honor graduate. And I just want to say to all the people out there listening, these vets don't go to combat or anywhere alone. All their families go with them, and it's a sacrifice for everybody. But now, besides that, my story, my son and I were out in front of the house in the driveway smoking a cigarette. We don't smoke in the house. The ground lit up like it was daylight, and we naturally looked up. And if you've ever seen the show or series Stargate, where it has this ring that looks like it's filled with mercury with blinking crystal white lights, that's exactly what we saw. And there was a little mist in the air, and I saw 3 shadows of craft that came through that circle. And the first one was like a bloated cigar. The second one was an elongated triangle. And the third one, I swear to God, I swear on my grandmother and grandfather's grave that the last one that came through before it disappeared looked like the Starship Enterprise, except instead of the big dome, it was more of a teardrop shape with the skinny part of the tier in back, and it had a look like a left and a right rear thruster, or maybe a ballast or a weight control system. I don't know what it was, but they were both there right on the end of that craft. And after that last craft came through, it just, as quick as it came, it disappeared. And my son and I looked at each other and were just dumbfounded. I talked, and the cover story, because there was a sonic boom that came with it, the cover story from the local press was a meteorite had caused that. It came through the atmosphere. But I talked to a lady the next day at a local convenience store and said, anyone see anything weird in the sky last night? She said, yeah, I seen something. I don't know if it was a satellite blowing up or what it was, but it was no meteorite. She said there were lightning bolts and just streaks of energy, and it said just sparks flying everywhere. She was...
Hey, Dave, yeah. Let me jump in really quick. How long did the entire event last?
Oh, my God. Probably just maybe 10 seconds.
That's incredible.
15 seconds, maybe.
And thank you for the phone call, Dave. Dr. Greer, have you ever heard of anything like that, like a portal opening up in three different craft?
Some years ago, we were up near Tonto National Park Forest, way north of Phoenix, and we were doing our contact protocols, and it was as if, you know, the saying, the heavens had been rent asunder. It was like there was an opening in space right above us, and there was this brilliant blue, cobalt blue-white object that materialized. It was so brilliant, it lit up the ground all around us and our circle as if it was daytime. And what we saw... Everyone there was absolutely dumbfounded. And we've had that happen many, many times on our expedition where we go out under the stars and this sort of event happens. So I believe what this man is saying is entirely credible.
Before I go back to the calls, I'm watching Twitter, and everybody wants to know if you have the picture of the ET back in the bushes that I've seen, by the way. I've seen it myself.
Yes.
Do you have it posted online?
Yep, it's at seriousdisclosure.com, and it's a huge site. If you navigate around on the images and pictures, you will find it.
It's a crazy, crazy picture. Yep. Let's go to Wildcard Modesto, back out on the West Coast. Ray, you're up next.
Oh, hey, great show. Great phone calls. I'm not sure I can follow those. I just had a quick comment regarding what President Eisenhower had warned us against. You know, I've studied the 9/11 conspiracies in depth, and one thing I've come to realize is that these people that President Eisenhower warned us against, they constitute really a tyranny. And, you know, when you think about it, this is exactly what the anti-federalists, you know, the people that opposed a strong central government at the onset of our country, warned us against. You know, and I think one thing I think, my own opinion is that we need to reconsider what the anti-federalists had to say in terms of the role of the government and how our government should be structured.
Thank you for the phone call, Ray, and I think you
however way it's structured, there has to be a level of transparency and accountability, which does not happen now. And our politicians are so bought off and corrupt that they're not going to stand up to these kinds of powerful interests. So I think this is where, as Thomas Jefferson said, it's incumbent on the people to change that. And it doesn't have to be a violent revolution, but there has to be a revolution of sorts.
And also with Eisenhower, it was going on then, but it was also a warning of the future, and he certainly had 3D vision about what was about to happen and was warning us about the future.
Well, he was, because he knew that he had been betrayed. So there's no question. You know, he told Jackie Gleason that he was completely betrayed by the people that he had entrusted to be in these projects. And it's a sad story that has not been told of presidential history, that someday will. But we had an opportunity in the 50s to have a totally different civilization. I'm reminded by Colonel Corso in his papers that after he passed away, I saw this account where there was a landing of an ET craft at White Sands Missile Base near where we had the first atomic bomb detonation. And this was in 56. And he had an encounter with an ET, and he was a very brash colonel. He said, and the ET, you know, asked them for their help to stop this sort of weaponization and targeting of them. And Colonel Corso said, "What's in it for me?" And the ET said, "A new world."
Yes, yes. Dr. Greer, really quick, before I have to let you go, when can we expect Acknowledged to finally be completed?
Yes, it's Unacknowledged.
Oh, I said Acknowledged. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. From Unacknowledged Special Access Project. Well, if everyone goes and helps donate to it so we get our minimum and can move this forward, we're actually in production now, but we need more help. So we need the help from the public. We need the support from the public. It's crowdfunded like Sirius was, and we've already obtained a major distributor. So this goes global, 10 times, 1,000 times bigger than Sirius. But we're looking to have it finished late this year or early next year. And we will also have a book that goes along with it. And for people who contribute to it, there are all kinds of great incentives, including, you know, being able to come to the premiere and receive copies of it and what have you.
Thank you. We got to jump right there. Dr. Greer, thank you so much, and keep doing what you're doing. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Thank you, Dr. Stephen Greer. We'll be right back.